Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. While physical hunger is what triggers many of us to eat, others are driven by psychological factors. We eat because we're happy or sad, bored or overwhelmed. And we overeat not because we're hungry, but because mindless eating brings comfort, suppresses feeling, and helps us mask other issues. In many cases, it doesn't matter what we're eating because we're not tasting, enjoying, savoring our food.
Our next guest says diets don't work. Instead, she's developed an approach which she calls Eat for Life. Dr. Lynn Rossi is the author of The Mindfulness-Based Eating Solution, Proven Strategies to End Overeating, Satisfy Your Hunger, and Savor Your Life. Dr. Rossi is a licensed clinical psychologist at the University of Missouri's Wellness Program and is on the board of directors of the Center for Mindful Eating.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Rossi. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Why do you think so many people have disordered relationships with food?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. One of the big reasons is that we're really not present for the food that we eat. So there's a lot of problems that arise from that. Also, I think people have disordered eating because they're using food as a way of fixing themselves. People eat because they're happy. They eat because they're sad. They eat because they're bored. We use food for a lot of other things besides physical hunger. And so food is really basically meant to satisfy our physical hunger, not our hunger for other things like movement and creativity and connection and many other things that are harder to meet our needs, but if we would take the time, we'd be better off.
If we weren't all so overly concerned about our body image and being overweight, as long as we were healthy, we probably really wouldn't be talking about it, but we are so bombarded with images of what we should look like that everybody is always seeking a diet to help lose weight. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. In fact, in the research that I did on the Eat for Life program, the people that took the class said they had been on a diet 39% of their life, which is a lot of time if you consider it. I mean, people are put on diets at the age of 5. It's really, really, really sad because we know that there's health at every size, right? And that we need to really start appreciating our body for the instrumental value instead of its ornamental value. So instrumental value is like appreciating that your legs can walk from one place to the other, appreciating that you can see and that you can taste and that you can hear and that you can smell and that your, you know, body is doing all these amazing things. When you really consider it, your body is this amazing miracle. I don't care what size you are. And so also the research is showing that the size isn't the biggest component of health. It's what are you eating? How are you eating it? How are you savoring it? How are you enjoying it? And how are you taking care of your body's needs, like for movement? Those are really more important than your size. And when I can get people to start appreciating and respecting their bodies, this is a big component of the book in my class, they begin to treat their bodies better, right? So you think about, what am I putting into my mouth and how does it impact my body? You begin to appreciate that this body and you have to become friends. You really need to befriend your body. It's your body and you to the end of time, right? And nobody else is coming along but the two of you, right? And so you've really got to learn how to befriend your life and your body and the food that you eat.
So much of what you talk about in your book is mindful eating. So why don't you describe the concept of mindful eating?
Right. We do eat so mindlessly. And I give this example because I think it's so profound. I had one person in my class who came in the second week of class. And this is just after teaching the basic concepts of mindful eating. And she had started paying attention to what she's putting into her mouth and really tasting it. And she came in and she said, I don't like anything that I eat. I just hadn't noticed before. So I think that's just really incredible that we can be so out of tune with what we're doing that we really don't taste the food that we're eating. We don't even know what its impact is on our bodies. And so when I teach mindful eating, I have what I've developed, and I call it the basics of mindful eating. And basics is really an acronym. B stands for breathe and belly check. So I ask people to take a couple of deep breaths, because when you do that, you're actually going to be able to kick in your parasympathetic nervous system, which is the opposite of the sympathetic nervous system, which is associated with the fight or flight response. We know that stress registers symptoms that are felt in the belly that sometimes mimic hunger symptoms. And so if you take a few deep breaths, you'll begin to relax. You can begin to differentiate the difference between physical hunger and stress. Okay, and a lot of people eat because of stress, so this is an important concept. And after you take a couple of breaths, then check in and see, how hungry am I? Am I hungry? Lots of times people don't even think about checking in to see if they're hungry before they eat. And in general, my general rule is eat when you're hungry and don't eat when you're not hungry. That alone would change the way most people eat. So if you're hungry, begin to eat. But before you begin to eat, A stands for assess your food. Look at what you're going to eat. Look at what you're going to put into your body. Where does it come from? What are the colors? How does it smell? Does it look appealing? Is it food you really want to eat? Is it something, you know, that you really think you should be putting into your body that would support itself? If you've done that and you like what's in front of you, then you can begin to eat. S stands for slow down. My informal surveys indicate that about a fourth of us or less are slow eaters. Most of us are fast eaters. So slowing down and taking your time to eat and pay attention to what you're doing can really help you understand when the body is getting full or satisfied so that you can stop eating at that point. Also, slowing down helps you to appreciate the meal better, and you can like put your food down in between bites, right? Put your fork down, put your spoon down. I stands for investigate your hunger throughout the meal, particularly halfway through. Halfway through, you could stop, you could check in, am I still hungry? If you are, continue to eat. If you're not, then put it away for later, or you can even throw it away. Oftentimes people get a little upset about the idea of throwing food away, and I don't want to advocate waste, but as you're beginning to learn how much your body really needs, it can be beneficial to throw a little bit of food away. Your body isn't a waste can.
If people are just joining us, they're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And we are talking about the Mindfulness-Based Eating Solution, a new book by Dr. Lynn Rossi. She works with patients at the University of Missouri's Wellness Program, and she's actually going through the basics and how people just have a mindless approach to eating. You mentioned people that really discovered they don't even know what they're eating. They don't like really, in particular, the taste of the foods they're eating. They're just into this rut of eating on the go and not really paying attention. And I gather that you feel if we stop for a minute, realize that we're feeding our one and only body, that our approach to food really improves.
Absolutely. Yes. And so C is to chew thoroughly. And again, this goes along with slowing down. When you chew thoroughly, you're actually getting more of the nutrient value out of the food that you're eating, which is really important. If you swallow your food whole, you're not going to get that. So chewing thoroughly also sends messages to the brain that you're going to be getting full. And then S is my favorite, and so I'll just jump to that, and it's to savor your food, right? If you can't savor it, why are you eating it? So we really want to use food as a time that we can enjoy and find pleasurable, and really set up a table with a, you know, tablecloth and a candle once in a while with some flowers and really have a great experience. But even if you don't do that, you can, every time you eat, really tap into the pleasure of eating.
So it sounds like you're really trying to break this cycle of we just eat and we plunge in and we are doing something else. We may be talking to family at the dinner table. We may be watching television. I grew up in a family where you grab the morning paper and then you ate it over breakfast cereal. So this is the whole idea of breaking anything else connected with food and really being there and present and aware of the food and the action of eating and swallowing and feeling satiated, all of that.
Right. However, we all are going to eat and read once in a while. We're going to eat at the computer once in a while. I don't know that the eating and the TV is all that necessary, but maybe for some people. And so I don't want to say that you can never do that, but you can move your attention from, or, you know, like you, we're eating and having a social event. That's wonderful. But you can move your attention from talking and listening back to your food and just briefly check in. It doesn't take long at all. Like, you know, a couple of seconds of checking in to your belly to see if you're satisfied or full, checking in with the taste of the food. It can happen very quickly, but it needs to happen continuously throughout, let's say, a social event. You know, you'd be having a good time and you check in, have a good time, you check in, have a good time and check in. It can be done.
It also sounds like you have worked with individuals who may never have actually felt real, true hunger. They're eating for other reasons. So how do you reconnect somebody with, it's okay to feel hungry, because that's one of those most basic fears. I can't be hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, there have been people that come in and say, you know, there is a fear about getting hungry. There's also a fear on the flip side of not stopping eating, right? So there's a, you know, they don't want to feel hungry and they don't want to stop eating until they're really full. And so we use mindfulness and mindfulness practice, which is the foundation of the program. And so I have people really begin to explore those feelings with this kind, compassionate presence. So mindfulness is really being present in the moment with kindness and compassion and without judgment. So if you bring that kind of attention to the feelings that arise when you have anxiety about, you know, getting hungry or not eating more, you can begin to explore those in this gentle, kind way, and you don't have to really act on them. You can begin to understand them better, and sooner or later, usually sooner, they'll pass, and you can learn that you can be with these uncomfortable feelings and emotions without really having to fix them, and they will leave if you acknowledge them and if you're present for them. It's a way of transforming them.
So you feel that if people are present for their food, for the act of eating, if they're mindful, if they savor, and if they taste, this will affect hunger, will feel satiated, will feel satisfied, and people will eat less?
Absolutely, yes. Because if you don't know that you're getting full and you keep on eating, you will continuously overeat. But when you really tap into your body's signals, you can begin to really feel this. And actually, some cultures have a philosophy that says just eat until you're 2/3 full. And actually, these are some of the longest lived people in the world, are these people that have these kinds of philosophies built into their culture. Ours is not one of them. but I do teach that, you know, this idea of eating until you're 2/3 full instead of all the way full as a way of really honoring the body's what it really needs, which is not to be completely full. So people can learn to be comfortable at stopping at this point.
Yes, you mentioned in the book the hunger and satisfaction scale.
Right,
where it starts with you just eat a little bit and you're still hungry all the way till you have eaten so much that you're actually uncomfortable. And for some people, that's really what they wind up doing.
Yes. And again, there's a lot of reasons for that. It's part of it's just being unconscious about what you're eating. Part of it is people say, well, it tastes good, so I want to keep eating it. To that, I say, if you know you can have it whenever you want it, because I also have this concept of no forbidden food, you know you can have it again later. You don't have to have it all in one sitting, right? You can have a reasonable amount now that's, you know, makes sense for your body at this moment. And then, you know, if next week you want to have it again, you can have it again, or the next day. So knowing that relieves a lot of that anxiety about, you know, I've got to eat a lot of it now, particularly on those foods where people feel guilty about eating them or they don't think they should be having them. So I don't set up this there's good and bad, right and wrong about eating. I let people discover on their own what happens when they eat certain food. So if you eat some foods that are high in fat and sugar and you eat too much of them, then the body feels really sluggish and it feels really depleted. And people can feel that. And so my whole approach is tap into your own internal body signals, and then you'll be able to determine what's right for you. You don't need somebody outside of you telling you, don't eat this, don't eat that. Because every time you get those, don't eat this or that, you're going to want it, right? And so have it respectfully and notice, is it something you really want? And if it is, how much of it is appropriate? I always like to ask, you know, how many brownies in a pound of brownies is enough, you know? You can discover that on your own by just tasting it and really being present for the experience.
Dr. Lynn Rossi is the author of The Mindfulness-Based Eating Solution, Proven Strategies to End Overeating, Satisfy Your Hunger, and Savor Your Life. She's a licensed clinical psychologist at the University of Missouri's Wellness Program and is on the board of directors of the Center for Mindful Eating. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.